where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Scaredy Cats Podcast. Hootie ho. I'm one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hello, guys.
How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We just got done watching The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. It's our first kind of brand new movie we get to tackle on the podcast. We're both excited. We enjoyed this. Before we get into it, let's get into some plugs. Every 6:30 p.m., listen to us, the Unscripted Wrestling Show, and Saturdays Unscripted Unlimited at around 11, but now that I'm doing Saturdays again, probably 1 or 2. And make sure to listen to this show, Scaredy Cats, at 3 p.m. I wasn't there for Friday night show because I've been sick as a dog, but came in for today. Had to for The Conjuring. And make sure to keep listening to us, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Box and Smart, Thursdays and Fridays after AEW and SmackDown. And that's about it. You ready to get into it, Mindy?
Yeah, let's get it.
All right, Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. What were your first thoughts kind of going into
this? Well, I was really scared about going into this because, I'm not going to lie, a lot of the reviewers pulled it apart. I don't know why now after watching it, but they did. And also, one major thing that really upset myself and a lot of other people was the fact that it's supposed to be based on a true story, based on factual events and everything, but that's not exactly true. Only half the story was actually right. But they did really good. I will have to say that. They did a really good job. The two people that act as Ed and Lorraine Warren, amazing actors in their own right. When they get together, even better. Like I even said to Daniel when we were watching this, that it had such a creepy atmosphere, and it didn't have anything that gave it that.
Yeah.
It was just, that's what it was. There was no music. There was no, like, thumps or anything like that. Like, there really wasn't any jump scares, really, even.
Yeah.
But it was just such a scary atmosphere that it got intense.
Yeah, it did. And this movie is impressive for various reasons. One, it's the first kind of not even a horror movie, but actual, like, movie in the kind of pre-COVID. People are going to the theaters again, so this made some money. $39 million budget, made $118 in box office. And that's impressive because it was released on HBO Max for free subscribers.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, HBO Max, they are doing, oh, by the way, this is going to be spoilers, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone that has HBO Max or that wants to go out there and get it or whatnot, they are putting new movies besides just horror, like the new Mortal Kombat movie and stuff and Tom and Jerry and everything. They're taking the movies that are in the theaters and they're offering them to HBO Max people so they can stay home and watch them. You don't have to go out.
Yeah, for the rest of the year at least. I'm sure that plan will be done now that COVID's opening up or things are starting to open up.
Yeah.
COVID's kind of taking a back seat. So I'm sure that they're going to transition more to theaters, and we can't wait to keep going to theaters and reviewing.
Oh, by the way, guys, Scaredy Cat's got to win. Would you like to tell them?
No, let's have you break the news.
Scream 5 is 580 as a production, which means, for all you people that don't really speak film stuff, it means that they have the writing, the score, the trailer, and all the scenes too. And now they're slicing and dicing footage and everything and seeing what they're going to keep in the movie and what they can't keep in the movie and that kind of thing. So, but we are saying that it's going to have a this year's release date, so.
But it's been filmed. It's done. It's been filmed.
It's done. It's in production.
That's sweet. Post-production.
Post-production, yeah.
That's exciting because I know, I mean, we'll keep it on The Conjuring, but as us slasher fans, we can't wait for that. So
it's going to be amazing. And also for all you slasher fans out there as well, we also got two more movies that were just confirmed. It's a surprise for Daniel, too. Pinhead and Hellraiser is being rebooted and regendered, gender swapped, as a lady. So Hellraiser will have his remake, well, her remake, in a couple of months, and it'll be her. Also, Robert Englund has decided on his birthday that he will do one final Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's not going to be him per se. He's going to do the makeup and some pictures, and he's going to do some like voiceovers and whatnot,
yeah.
But he's not actually going to be in it. And this is why he came up with it, though, because no one else can play Freddy, because he's going to make it that Freddy can transform into anything. He's going to bring the shape-shifting into effect. So,
do we have a director?
We do have a director. It's being under Blumhouse.
Okay.
So Jason Blum's going to take it. Do I think Robert Englund will let that much creativity be in the director's hands? No, not really. But we'll see. But, yeah, those are two very important projects to us here at Scaredy Cats that we are very, very excited. Well, three projects, but we're very excited.
Now, to get back over to this, Mindy.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of James Wan.
Yes,
do you think he has cultivated a pretty good horror universe for this Conjuring movie?
He has really good writing.
Yes.
That's the thing, because he was produced and the story was written by him. And he did a really fantastic job bringing that eeriness and that scary atmosphere to you without you having to be at a theater or, like I said, without music and stuff like that, and special effects and everything. I mean, I think there had to be some special effects in there for the scenes to work, but it wasn't overused, in my opinion. I think it was, like, sprinkled in there when it needed to be.
Yeah.
Wasn't over the top.
No, not whatsoever. I thought this movie, it was well done and more, because like you said, the eeriness, without music and all that stuff, it just shot really well. Shout out to Michael Chaves, too.
Oh, yeah, the cinematography was.
Yeah. The, like, over shots of, like, the rivers and the, like, creepy houses and, like, him walking, Ed obviously walking with the hammer at the end, you know, going towards her. It's like all that stuff shot so well that it's really creepy and you really think that.
Yeah, and how they went in between her and the woman who did the curse. Like,
yeah,
they went back and forth in between it. And it kind of gave me a My Bloody Valentine vibe.
Yeah, when he's cheating with the hammer. Yeah.
When Tom's got the hammer and he's basically out of it and he thinks that he's not Tom anymore.
Yeah. No,
so,
I see that.
It's got a very, very big that kind of vibe, but it does it a little bit more originally.
It does. I think it does it well, and this has done pretty well box office-wise, but critically not so well. A lot of people are saying, you know, it's a come down for the Conjuring franchise. Is this the worst Conjuring movie, Mindy?
Absolutely not. I will stand by this time and time again. I think the worst Conjuring movie was the first Annabelle. I don't think Annabelle got a really good shot in her first one.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely a slow burn, which I've told you people, no offense to slow burn. Not giving any hate to you slow burners out there. It's okay.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wait 45 minutes to get to some action. See, this one was kind of, I told my brother here that this one was actually kind of a slow burner, which it was, but there was also action.
Yeah, there
every
was some
couple
action
of minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I love. Like, yeah, slow burn with the story and everything. We, like, wait it out, do all that stuff. That's fine. But give us something to watch.
Yeah.
And they did that. They did that very well.
I mean, they did it very well in my perspective, because it's hard for me, because I like ghosts, but those movies are very hit or miss, and I think The Conjuring does it well.
They are for both of us.
Yeah. We both usually agree on that. And
yeah.
The first Conjuring, it did do something to me. It did, like, that's one of the scariest movies to me.
Daniel actually called me, guys, and said, you need to watch this now.
Yeah. When it came out, I was like, holy shit, I saw it in theaters, and it was one of the creepiest things I've ever seen.
And then I watched about 2 years ago on Hulu, and this one told me to. And it was so beautiful and so scary at the same time. I watched it with the lights off. It kept me in the edge of my seat the entire time. I loved it.
Absolutely. And I'm not willing to say that this one is better than that one.
No.
But I would say that this is a good continuation for their story, you know, the Warrens. And seeing Arnie's story and everything and that love story with him and that girl and the craziness he's going through and him trying to kill himself because of the demons in him. And it was the curse. And the curse was made on the little boy at first, and he took it from him because he cares about the family so much.
Yep.
So there really is a lot
but
of emotional stakes.
They didn't realize that it
Yeah, simple possessions. Yeah.
And they didn't realize that it was actually a curse that involved one person to kill themselves, one person to die at another person's hand, and then another person to be suicide, murder. There were three.
What, three deaths?
No, there was three ways of the curse.
Yeah.
There was possession, killing themselves, and then there was another one that I can't remember.
Okay. But yeah, the show was crazy. I love the chemistry between Patrick Wilson and the lady from Bates Motel. They are amazing together. The Warrens just, they're the best parts of these movies. Like these two, even the people that are shitting on this movie say you can't deny the chemistry between these.
You
they steal
really
every
can.
Scene.
They really do. Every single scene, they steal. But honestly, you would think that they were married themselves.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that they did really, really do their research. Like, you can tell that, like, in the interviews and stuff that they've said, that they've talked and sat down with the real Lorraine Warren, because unfortunately, Ed was passed away before any of this happened. But you can definitely tell that not only did they listen to her, but they took it to heart.
Yeah, exactly. And these movies and these actors and actresses have done a really good job of making Lorraine Warren like a new horror icon. And she's a real person.
She really is.
But
she's getting ready to be a new Jamie Lee Curtis, though.
Yeah.
As she keeps it up here for me, guys. She is really good.
Yeah. And I'm sure, because we've been talking, that this might be the last one.
It probably is, just because, unfortunately, as I just said, Ed is passed. But Lorraine, who also worked on all of the movies, including this one, she has passed away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's going to be any more. I haven't heard anything.
It's just crazy because... I mean, they do have a Crooked Man movie coming out, which is like a spinoff, and another Nun movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they'll do another Conjuring, but they'll probably do some more
stuff.
Yeah,
I think they're
going to
do some more stuff in the universe, guys. But I think this is the end for the Ed and Lorraine saga.
Yeah. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. They've had three movies now.
They had a couple spinoffs.
Yeah, and they've been featured in some of the spinoffs and shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got a lot out of it.
Yeah, their story has been documented very well. And I mean, I enjoyed a lot of parts of this movie. Only thing I would probably criticize is it does get slow in some spaces, but usually there was enough action after that. Like the action beats, they were thrown in there good. So there might be moments that were slow, but to me only by like 3 minutes.
Yeah, and also people, we hate when people look through people. Just don't do it. We hate it.
It's so creepy.
This James Wan was like, oh, let's have somebody look through a peephole for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And let's flip the scene and everything just be so intense. And you think something's going to hit him or appear from behind. You think something's going to happen.
Well, yeah, the lady shows up behind him.
Well, yes, the lady does show up behind him, but nothing happens in the hole. Like,
no.
He doesn't get stabbed or anything like that.
No.
So, which was refreshing, honestly, because normally when you look in a hole like that, like, someone pops out at you or spears you in the face or something happens.
Now, someone, I mean, we did The Craft a couple weeks ago. Someone that loves witchy vibes and witch-type movies and fucking huge, one of the biggest charm fanatics I've ever met in my life. What did you think of the kind of the introduction of using curses and stuff? Because this is kind of new for this franchise, mostly demons.
It is very, very new. And also very surprising to me that they were doing this story to begin with, because of the fact that it was based on a curse and not on a haunting or a possession or poltergeist or anything like that. It was something brand new for not only us, the audience, but it was also brand new for these people.
Yeah.
And then Lorraine Warren, who are actually people, guys. They're actually demonologists. They're Christian demonologists. And Lorraine is a natural psychic medium.
Yeah.
She was a medium, very powerful medium. And they would have talks on like every Saturday night, like in the late 80s. I went through this on their YouTube channel and I saw a lot of the videos. And they had great chemistry together anyway.
Yeah.
As an older couple just talking about stuff. I can't tell you how many times in the video the guy would go, all right, Ed, well, we need to cut this. And Ed would just be like keeping on talking. And he like is looking at Lorraine like, and Ed's just like, but it's very interesting. It's packed loaded with information. If you want to know anything about the cases, anything about the Warrens at all, they cover Annabelle, they do all of that.
Huh?
My cross just fell off, people. That's weird.
Oh shit.
But yes.
The couch starts levitating. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'll tell you that much. I don't do that shit.
Definitely, though. I will have to say the curse was a more refreshing way of doing it.
Yeah, because it's not like this house is haunted or there's
nope.
a demon around.
Or
it's,
you're possessed.
Yeah.
Or what they thought, which was... they saw originally that it was called raging possession, which a raging possession hits one person, and if it doesn't get to kill, it'll hit another person nearby, which it did because Arnie told him to.
Yeah.
And then it got its job done. And normally it just disappears and goes away. And that's what one of the number one things the father and Lorraine and Ed were worried about, especially in the movie.
Yeah.
Because if they couldn't prove that he didn't know what he was doing when he did it, he was going to get the gas chamber.
Yeah.
So they had that weighing on their head. They didn't want, because a brilliant scene that I loved, which was between the DA and Warren's, and she said, you know, I don't know how you two are going to get him out of this. And Ed said, we're not trying to get him out of it. He knows that he did wrong. He understands that he needs to do his time.
Yeah.
We just don't think that he deserves to die. Because he didn't know.
Damn.
But that just hit right there, right in the heart. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, he knows he's going to jail. Everyone knew he was going to jail. But he didn't want to die.
He wasn't ready.
No.
One of the things that impressed me as like a noir fan, right? And I like detective type shit too. And it's crazy and it's cool when you can really implement that into a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And the original Conjurings and the other ones, we see a little bit of that from the Warrens, but not really totally. It's
especially
more than just
second.
Yeah. But it's more like them investigating, like, the spirit and stuff. To me, in this one, they did a lot of, like, detective work, finding out the curse and all this shit. And those scenes really had the most, like, passion to me. I really enjoyed those scenes of them trying to figure out what's going on and her, like, wandering around in the woods and the whole thing with her off the cliff and shit. Spoiler
alert.
And,
like, she was under the house at one point that Arnie and her brother became possessed and she found the shrine and whatnot. And... like, this woman just goes, hold my jacket, because he's like, I don't think you should go down there. She's like, I don't think you should go down there, sweetheart. If you do, your dress is going to get ruined. Like, he was trying all the man things.
Yeah.
Your dress is going to get ruined. You're going to get your hair dirty. You're going to stuff up your shoes. Everything. And she's like, hold my purse. I got this. You're not going underneath this house.
Yeah.
And she went underneath and found the shrine and everything else. But that's why me and Daniel are saying that she has become a covenant person to the horror genre.
Oh, well, yeah,
she really does not care when it comes to Ed. When it comes to Ed, she will put her life on the line.
Yeah. And she's done like that in the previous movies, but in this one, it felt like she was like a legitimate badass. Like some of the shit she was doing, it was so passive. And like in the detective
office. She's stuck in it.
Oh,
and Ed starts going after the detective because the detective wants to use them. And she was like, hey, if you use me, will you let me use you? And he's like, yes, you can actually do it. And Ed starts screaming at the guy, saying about how his wife's not a freak show and he wants to move on from all of this and stop this stuff. And Lorraine is just like, hey, it's just nice. But just so nonchalantly. Like, she wasn't even like, Ed, shut up, like she is in the other one. She was just like, it's this man. And pushed it towards the detective.
Yeah, and they did a good job at also portraying her gift as not only badass, but very scary. And what it does to her mentally and how hard it is.
It takes a lot out of her.
Yeah, it almost kills her at some points. And I think the film does a very good job at showing
especially
that.
This one.
Yeah.
She really lost herself.
Yeah.
In this one.
And
Ed was even screaming at her to let go of somebody at one point. She got too deep.
Yeah, then she got Ed involved, and he almost killed her. Yeah.
I mean, she's always the person that concludes the mystery.
Yeah.
I will have to say. She is the one that is normally the one that finds all the clues.
Yeah. And that's not saying anything about Patrick Wilson and Ed because he does a great job of being that other half and being like...
Oh, yeah. And if she didn't have him, it wouldn't happen. I mean, at the end of the movie, people, I'm not going to spoil the end of the movie for you, but it will pull on your heartstrings.
I was going to ask you about that because it was, for a horror film, it was a very nice, you know, sunset, you know, rainbows type of ending. What do you think about... with Arnie and his girl and them staying married and this. And I know that really happened, but love kind of trumping all in this.
I thought that was really cute. And honestly, I'm not a really big romantic fan when it comes to my horror.
Yeah.
I like them to stay in their own lane.
Yeah.
Basically. It's the way I am. I mean, I'll watch romantic comedies as far as like movie, as far as like TV shows and stuff goes, but I'll rarely watch a romantic comedy. That's a movie.
Oh, I agree with you.
Rarely.
Yeah.
Unless it normally has an Adam Sandler. And, or my boyfriend wants to watch it, or my fiance wants to watch it. Something. But I really loved the way that they just sprinkled this little bit of love into the series.
Yeah.
And they just sprinkled a little bit of their power.
And it's hard because love and horror can get very corny in the romantic stories. But they did it in such a way, and it wasn't like the whole movie. It was just the end.
And it was so
beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful for both sides.
Every Conjuring has had a beautiful ending.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can agree with that.
Yeah, some sort of, yeah.
But, because in the second one, doesn't he put on an Elvis record for, and they slow dance in the kitchen or something?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, so, like, every Conjuring has had a sweet little ending, but this one really made me want to cry. I almost cried.
Yeah?
I was, like, fanning my face off I was trying so hard not to cry. Because it was just so sweet, because the very first thing that she ever met him on, we're not going to tell you, he built for her. And it was just very sweet to me.
I can't say it.
Go ahead, say it.
Gazebo.
Yeah, he built her a gazebo. I don't know why, but like every Conjuring, they come up with like a different, have you noticed that? They come up with like a different story about how they first met.
Yeah, seems like it.
It really does. And the third one, they decided that they met under a gazebo and hung out under there while it rained. And Ed was very sweet to her and danced with her and stuff like that. And talked and everything, and then at the end of this movie, Ed built her a gazebo.
Yeah.
And that was, it's very sweet. It was very, like, coming together.
Yeah.
Part of the story, and it was very sweet. I really did. I had to hold back the tears a little bit.
What did you think of Arnie's story and everything he went through?
Oh, poor Arnie, man. Poor Arnie and poor David.
Yeah.
But I will give hats off to that little boy that played David.
Yeah.
What a good job, man. He did such good contortion work.
For a little kid,
he had
yeah.
to have, well, normally that's when you do contortion, Daniel, when you're younger.
Not,
you
yeah,
your
yeah.
circus away
yeah.
or something like that. Because just the back's not as bendable anymore. But he was, like, flipping himself over himself. Like, the one part he's sitting on his head. On the table.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, like, this kid has some, he has some talent, I will say. And he is quite creepy. He's a very quiet child. But every once in a while, he gets those lines in. Like, him and his sister go to visit Arnie. And he looks at Arnie and he goes, "This fellow hasn't left you." And I, "Oh, no, it has." And he's like, "No, it hasn't. Not him. He's, no." And they're like, "Why, David?" And he's like, "Because something's wrong. He's cold all the time."
Yeah.
"And something's probably telling him to do something to himself." And they found out that it was trying to get him to kill himself. But the fact that a 9-year-old child could come in and be like, boom.
Yeah.
"This is what's happening."
Yeah.
And he was so violent. I love violent little kids. But he just let them have it. And the exorcism, it was so good.
Yeah.
He did such a good job.
And
that's really hard for a kid to do.
It is, yeah. And he really showed the horror in his face, too, during that waterbed scene. He really
oh, yeah.
made that work, too.
Yeah.
Because that waterbed scene was fucking terrifying.
Oh, yeah, when you thought everything was going to be fine, and
yeah.
then the arm popped out at him and ruptured the bed. Oh, goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a kicker.
Yeah.
That was bad. I even jumped back at that. And I don't jump.
What was your favorite scene in this movie? Because we can't really do kills.
I will have to say my favorite was probably the one in the very beginning that Arnie tells David that he's not going to let anything happen to him.
Oh, you're going emotional.
Because he loves him.
Aww, nice.
I think that was a really, really sweet moment. And then we had the picnic where he was hanging out with David and playing around and doing stuff with him instead of being with the adults. They had a very brotherly bond. I'm not even going to say relationship. They had a bond to
yeah.
each other.
No, they did.
And I love that. Because normally the kid is just either the star or pushed aside.
Yeah.
He was kind of the in-between.
Yeah.
And I liked that a lot. What for you was your favorite?
It's probably a tie between two because the one scene I really like, it didn't last long, but when Arnie's all demonized and possessed and fucked up and his eyes are all glossed over and he's walking on the side of the street and the cop pulls over, that gave me kind of that Texas Chainsaw vibe a little bit.
Yeah, it was really creepy, especially
yeah.
when you didn't know he was covered in blood and then all of a sudden it panned away to what the officer was seeing and you see the guy's just drenched in blood.
Yeah, and then I think I heard somebody. It's like, no shit.
Yeah, like this guy just stares off in the middle of space and he's like, "I think I may have hurt someone." You think?
Yeah. So that definitely has to be up there, but also the end scene with him with the mallet going after her, and Arnie's about am I confusing the two different scenes where Arnie's about to kill himself too?
No, because what they did was they weaved the scenes together.
Together, yeah.
So, like, they did flashes of Arnie and then getting his exorcism and then trying to kill himself, and then they did flashes of Patrick Wilson and Vera's characters trying to beat the odds.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was she had to get in his mind and tell him, like, look, there's this demon, this curse, whatever, is trying to attack our love. Our love is not our weakness. Our love is our strength.
Yeah.
You know that. Fight it.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of a scene a couple, maybe like 10 minutes before, where the witch is about to get him to kill himself, or
yeah.
the whoever put the curse,
he had the
and
glass
he's got the glass, and then...
Are you talking about the cutting?
Yeah, and then Lorraine
stops
it first.
Oh, yeah, that was a while
first.
Ago.
Yeah, that was before that. And Lorraine stops it from happening.
Yeah.
And then he's sitting there, and then the cops are like,
yeah, because
call
Lorraine had called the prison.
Yeah.
Because Ed had first called the young lady to tell her, and he thinks that she got his message, but she got shocked by the telephone.
Yeah.
She didn't hear nothing.
She didn't hear shit.
She did not hear a word you said.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, Vera's character, Lorraine, who's obviously the smarter one, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She's like, no, we need to call the prison. Like, she doesn't know. She didn't hear you.
Yeah.
And she called the prison. But that could have been a lot worse than what it was.
Yeah. You talk about contortion, poor Arnie at the end there. He was moving around too, fucking bending and shit.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to do some research on that, guys, and see if that was CG or if it was him.
Oh, it had to be. He was fucking... His
arm you don't
was
know,
out of
though,
because fucking...
some pop and lockers can do that with their body.
That's true. That
so
kid was a pretzel, though.
He may have done it himself.
Yeah.
There are older contortionists, so he may have done it himself, but I'm going to have to look that up and... let you guys know what I find.
It was badass regardless. And the big fucking grotesque ugly people jumping out at them and stuff.
Yeah, has anybody on this channel ever seen Seven? I know you have. But Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt was a good actor. They had
the
seven deadly sins that they had to go after.
Yeah.
And they stumble upon one of the deadly sins, which is gluttony. And if you go back and you watch that movie, and you watch Gluttony, and then you watch this movie, you look like the same person. I even said that to your aunt. I was sitting next to her. I was like, oh, look, it's Gluttony. And she's like, shut up, Seven scarred me. So it was, she knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, look, it's Gluttony. It looks like the same exact person.
Does that count as a horror movie, Seven? Will we be able to talk?
Oh, yes, that is a horror mystery, and that is definitely something we're going to be doing. It's basically a maniac. Sorry, guys, we've got to explain this to Daniel real quick. It's a maniac who is obsessed with the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
So he kills people and leaves them as a sin for Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. And then the what's in the box. Yeah.
Well, that was the last sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was locked.
Yeah. I heard it was really good. We'll have to check. I'll have to check it.
It's a really good movie. I'll watch it with you because it's too creepy to watch by yourself. But, yeah, we'll have to go over that and Devil's Advocate. And there was one that John Goodman, Fallen, was in. John Goodman and Morgan Freeman did that one. That was a really good movie about the devil. So we'll go into all that.
Sweet. Did you want to rate this movie, Mindy? Is there anything you...
I don't really know if you can. Because of it being so young.
You got
to
rate it. What do you think of it? How many... Ouija boards, are you giving it out of 10?
I would say at least an 8.5.
Okay.
At least.
Yeah. I think I'd go at 8. I think it's a solid 8 movie. 8.5, 8.
Okay.
Around there. I thought it had good scares. The jump scares were a little to be desired. But it was another one of those movies.
Yeah, we don't jump.
Yeah, we don't jump. But I do enjoy it when it gets me to jump.
I know, but we don't.
Yeah. But it was just a little more than just a haunted house movie that it usually is.
Yes, and I loved that.
Yeah.
We like hauntings and possessions of people, not really houses.
Yeah.
We're those guys.
And as much as the original Conjuring kind of was that, it was good. I just liked how different this was.
Everyone
and it felt
did
fresh.
Its job.
Yeah, it felt fresh. I really liked it. I'd give it like an 8. Is there anything else you want to kind of touch upon?
The only thing I am going to say, guys, is that we do still have the Hootie Who contest going on. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatnot. You got to give me a different catchphrase to do. We will give you credit, I promise. At this point, we might... I might even call you real quick and give you a voicemail for your voicemail. We don't care.
I'd do it.
But I need something else. Please. Please save me
give
from the Hootie Who.
Save us all.
Save us all. And my whole entire family is having been here. Hootie Who. Twice. Well, now I've done it like 6 times. But like twice at least a week. Save my family. Save me.
Save us.
And get yourself a shout out on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like that. That's a win-win-win.
Triple win.
Triple win. There Excellent. You go.
What are we doing next week, Mindy?
Next week, we are doing Sleepaway Camp.
Ooh, the classic.
Daniel loves Friday the 13th.
Yes.
And I thought this would be funny trying to get him to review this movie because it's similar to Friday the 13th, but different.
And you say better.
I think it's got a different element that makes it a little better because the children are actually at camp.
Yeah.
And it's not just camp counselors. Like, there's kids.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little bit more crispy for me. And it's got a really good twist. If you haven't seen it, Sleepaway Camp, go on Tubi, free, very good movie. And that's what we'll be covering next week.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get to that. This episode was really nice. It was good getting into this kind of creepy, a new movie we got to touch upon, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And for everyone, we will see you all next week. Hootie Who.
Hootie Who. Save me from the Hootie Who. That's it. Save me from the Hootie Who. Bye, guys. We're having some technical difficulties, guys. Hold on.